Tough Rock Podcast.
Well, how's everybody doing today? Are we good? Hey, I tell you, I can't help it. Sometimes after seeing something like that, experiencing the worship that we've experienced this morning already, having communion with my friends, my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, it kind of feels like we're already having church up in here, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm privileged to bring the first message in this new series that we're titled Chosen. But before I jump into that, I did want to just take a few minutes and pray over our time, and then we will continue into the message part of our worship service. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the responsibility of gathering in your name. Lord, we thank you for the way that you're active in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the way that you're leading us collectively and as individuals. And so, Lord, as we do our very best today to tune out everything else going on in our lives, to focus on what your Holy Spirit would say to us through your very words to us, Lord, I pray that you would encourage, that you would provoke, and that you would cause us to live chosen in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to move this box because I know I'm kicking it if I don't move it, okay? So first, that's the first lesson in preaching is you got to kind of take your territory, right? Make it yours, right? How many of you guys have ever experienced the privilege of being chosen for something? Yeah, pretty much everybody's been chosen for something. Maybe it's not the thing we wanted to get chosen for, but we've all been chosen for something in the past, right? I mean, I can remember back all the way to being just a little tyke out playing football or some pickup game on the basketball court somewhere. And if you haven't noticed, when it comes to basketball, I'm just a little bit vertically challenged. I make up for it with mad hops. Okay, that's not true either. Okay, but I remember how badly when they, you know, when you kind of circle up, you pick a couple of captains, and then you like stand on your tippy toes, you know, to try to, you know, try to make sure that they picked you and didn't pick you last, right? How many of you guys remember being chosen for something in your life? Chosen for whether it's chosen to play in a pickup game, or it's when you get that college acceptance letter. For me, it took 4 different applications to get into the school and the program that I thought I was supposed to be in, that God was leading me into. First time I didn't get in. Second time I didn't get in. Third time I didn't get in. Fourth time I got in. And I remember that day when I got the letter, I was like, yeah, I've been chosen, man. I was chosen to do this thing. I was chosen to do it. Or maybe for us, we're sitting here today and we're just, it's a spouse, right? Is there any greater privilege than being chosen by somebody in marriage? I'll tell you, the day that Jody said yes to me was a tough day for her, but a great day for me, right? I was like, yes, she chose me. She chose me. So whether it's that or it's a job or a responsibility that we've been chosen for, heck, for me, even just getting a bowl of free ice cream, right? I get pretty excited about that. Get the coupon. It's like, come back Sunday, free ice cream. It's like, I was chosen. I was chosen. I was chosen. I was chosen. Being chosen is a very important theme throughout the scriptures. But as you guys are all aware, I don't know if you've been paying attention to any of the national news or any of the election season or anything that's been going on. I say that in jest, knowing that we are a people of prayer and that we understand some of our rights, privileges, and responsibilities as citizens of the United States in the election that's coming up. But we're getting ready to choose a new president. We're getting ready to elect a new president into the highest office in the United States. And I think, wow, what a great honor for whoever it is that is chosen for that responsibility, who's elected up into that office. But I also think, man, what a responsibility for that person. And so I say that simply to say that it's that whatever we're chosen for comes with both the honor and the responsibilities that goes with that. That we're chosen for representative office, much the way that we're seeing this political process worked out, right? So I'd like to just suggest today that being elected is good, being chosen is better. How many of you guys, as you sit here today, know that Jesus chose you? Not because you were tall enough, not because you had great hops, not because you were smart enough, pretty enough, though, you know, there are those qualities in the room. Don't think I'm not saying that, okay? But he chose us because of who he is in our lives. This whole idea of election is throughout the scriptures. And it simply is just the idea of being appointed and anointed to announce God's elected one, right? And I don't know if you're anything like me, but to be chosen for such a high honor, to be chosen to be representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world is something that I both get excited about and also at times shrink back and go, God, couldn't you have selected somebody a little more qualified, somebody a little more articulate, somebody could sing a little bit better, somebody that had a little more hair. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I can find myself always trying to give to step aside and say, Lord, there's got to be somebody else, right? Can I just tell you today that there's not somebody else for what God has elected you for the purposes for which he has saved you, right? So to be called the elect of God, to be chosen by God, is to be selected for divine mercy or favor, especially for salvation. How many of us in this house today are thankful for God's choosing for salvation, right? That is what Jesus did. He made sure that everyone who would call upon his name could be chosen, right? So Spurgeon said it this way. When it comes to this idea of the doctrine of election, this idea of being chosen by God, he said, I believe the doctrine of election because I'm quite sure that if God had chosen me, I should never have chosen him. Had he not chosen me, I should have never chosen him. And I am sure he chose me before I was born, or else he never would have chosen me afterwards. And he must have elected me for reasons unbeknownst to me, for I never could have found any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with that special love. Right? Today, we talk about what does it mean to live chosen? What does it mean to be his representation in this world? And throughout the Bible, it's not just us, it's not just this generation. He's done it throughout the Bible, right? He chose Moses for his special purposes, Abraham for his special purposes, right? Joshua, David, and you can just go down the list and down the list. David was chosen to deliver the Philistines. Solomon was chosen to build the temple, right? To be chosen has always been, as is true with this political season we're in, to represent an office and to take representative responsibility for what we are chosen for. And so just so you know, I am aware I'm running this. I'm going to go ahead and click it once, okay? I'm going to get synced up here. I think. So we've been chosen for representative responsibility. Our key text today, if you have your Bibles with you, are 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that talks about this idea of being chosen. And then we're going to take some time today, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about being chosen by God, okay? So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "And he, the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall," says they stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you have received God's mercy. Isn't that a good word to us today, church? That we're not just out here free-floating through the world, but we are a chosen people. We are a representative generation. The Bible says, or it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, royal priests and a holy nation. That we belong to something bigger than any other club, any other thing that we would choose to identify ourselves in this world. Right? But to be royal priests means that there's both honor and responsibility in that. That our role in the midst of all kinds of challenges, turmoil, and joyful good times is to act as royal priests in a holy nation, showing the goodness of God to those who are looking for him and that he is desperately looking for. So, another way that this is described in the scriptures is in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. It says, "For God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Isn't that a great way to think about this idea of being chosen for Jesus? Is that he called us, he gave us right standing with himself, right? There's nothing we can do to add to it. There's nothing we can do to take away from it. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He gave them his glory. I just want that to sink in for a minute before we move on too far. How many of you guys know that whoever's elected as the President of the United States gets a few additional perks, right? Like a plane to fly around in, right? We've been given God's glory. His very self, his Holy Spirit that lives amongst us for the purposes which he has saved us to show that God is good to those who don't know him yet. Amen? That is the representative responsibility of his people. Okay? So we're chosen to do that through those three ways by reflecting his glory. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, here's one way we reflect his glory in this world. It says we're chosen to represent right standing or right relationship with God. In Deuteronomy 7, 6, it says, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people of the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. How many of you guys today are encouraged by that reminder that you are a special treasure to God? Not just somebody he tolerates, not just somebody that he goes, ah, okay, they're doing their best. You're his special treasure. You're a special treasure. Okay, 2 Samuel 23:5 says, we reflect his glory through representing his victory in family, right? It says, is it not my family that God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success. Isn't that a good promise today, church? We're chosen to reflect his glory. We're chosen to represent Jesus as the chosen one. More than anything else, that's what we're chosen for. Isaiah 42, verse 1, speaking of Jesus, says, look at my servant whom I strengthened. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations, right? That again, you see even in that text that he was chosen for a reason. He was chosen for a purpose, and that purpose includes bearing the Spirit of God and bringing justice to the nation, right? So he's chosen to reflect his glory. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says it this way, that we're also chosen to suffer on his behalf. Now, when we think of this idea, yeah, thank you, that was very well timed, exactly. I like this whole election thing, perks, privileges, you know, right standing with God, his spirit, chosen to suffer on his behalf as well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. That it really is that idea of what he entrusts to us, he entrusts so that we would live in such a way that brings glory to him and that reveals him to other people. And there's no other way around it other than to know that we are called to sacrifice what it is that he places into our hands, right? Do you guys know when we gather together and we work together and we give together to be that representation, that that's part of how we suffer for him? Do you guys know that there are people around the world who are really suffering for him at this time? And Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 16, or 16 through 18 says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Right? And finally, 2 Timothy 2:9, through 11 says, "And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory to Jesus Christ, to those whom God has chosen," right? So can I just take a moment, step away from the pulpit, step away from the scriptures, and say that I know that there's a lot of angst and some anxiety and some real hand-wringing about this election season that we're in. Can I also just encourage us to be reminded that we not only belong to a nation, we belong to a God and a people and a group that supersedes any other connection in this world. Amen? He's a God who knows what's going to happen. He's a God whom we can trust in the midst of an election season. And he is a God who has desires to save people from their sin and to represent his kingdom above all kingdoms in this world. Amen? So as we go through this season, it's the reminder that he did not call us to establish some political alliance, some Christian state, some idea. You guys understand in the scriptures that a lot of the persecution that Jesus received had to do with the ideas of the political people of what they wanted him to become for them. Does that make sense? But he said, no, I'm here for bigger business than this. I'm here to deal with mankind's sin and to bring grace and love and a brand new kingdom into this world. Amen? So that's the season that we're in. That's just my encouragement. As your pastor, pray, vote your conscience, and then trust Jesus with the results. And more than anything, let's be a people who pray for our elected president because of both the office that they hold and the responsibilities with which they must carry. Amen? So that's all I got to say about that. Back to the message, right? Back to the message. So to be chosen is to reveal what life in Jesus resembles. It's the idea of reflecting back what he's doing in us and through us that attracts people to his good work in our lives. Acts chapter 10, verses 40 through 42 describes this going on in the early church's life. It says, "But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God has chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the appointed one by God to be judge of all the living and the dead." Right? Titus chapter 1, verse 1 says, "For this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen, and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives." Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, 9 through 11 says it this way. "But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." One last scripture. Are you still with me? Still reflecting, thinking about what it means for us to live chosen, what it means to walk this out in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, and in the hopes and desires. I didn't do it. 2 Peter 1, 9 through 11, we just read. Micah 6, 8 tells us this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. It says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." To be chosen is to remember what he has done in us, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And this is why that's important, because the behaviors, the rhythms, the steps that we take throughout our lives are designed in our lives to remind us of who we are, who we belong to, right? When we forget to live chosen, we can forget whom we've been chosen by. I think that's why the scripture is so filled with practical application of what it's like to live out this faith, what it's like to follow Jesus through this world. Because we need to be reminded daily that it's not in us that we find our strength. It's not in our identity in any other capacity other than that relationship with Jesus Christ that brings the victory in our lives, right? John 15:16 says this. You guys know this one, right? We could probably pretty much all quote it. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. That is the promise that is over us in this season, and that when we choose to live as in representative, responsible lives, we also recognize his work amongst us that much easier. John 15:16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Finally, as we prepare to close our service, Psalm 33:12 reminds us that what joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people has chosen them as his inheritance. Amen. Can I just tell you, no matter what happens in this election, God's nation is going to prevail. That he's faithful to endure. He's faithful to work through. He's faithful to uphold the covenant that he's made with us. You guys know that's the difference between a covenant relationship that we just read about and just basically a contract, right? A contract are two people coming together. A covenant says, I have made you my people. And I have paid the price so that you will be blessed and live as my inheritance. Are we waiting on Ben? We're waiting on Ben. Yeah, can we? Ryan's ready to step up and sing Forever Reign. Can we do that? Let's pray and let's sing one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reminder today that in the midst of unrest and maybe one of the most polarizing elections that I can remember, Lord, that we are called as your people. We are called to represent you. We are called to live in the victory that you have secured on behalf of your people. In Jesus' name. Pray. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do as we stand together, gathered to announce you as the chosen one. Lord, that it's not just something we do in witness, Lord, it's something that you do in us and through us by the glory that you have given to your people. So, Lord, we pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts. Lord, that you would remind us that we are a chosen people, that we have been grafted into your body. Because of your great love for us. And that, Lord, no matter what happens in our lives, whether we suffer on your behalf, Lord, we suffer to bring glory to you. Lord, when we're privileged, as we have been in this nation for so very long, and in this era for so very long, Lord, we do that as unto you. So, God, we ask you to guide our hands. We ask you to lift up our voices. And, Lord, you would cause us to live knowing that we carry the banner of Jesus Christ wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good to encourage your heart today, can we give him an applause? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for the new salvations. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, as we do as part of our culture here at North Rock, is we pray a prayer that maybe you came into this place today and you were unsure of where you stood with God. You were unsure of whether or not you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope that the scriptures that we just read encourage you to know that there's nothing that you can do to get away from the God that loves you and who gave himself for you, right? And so as part of our culture, we pray a prayer together to remind us of our identity and our commitments and our rights and responsibilities that we share together through Jesus Christ. Let's pray it. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scriptures, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. We've got a little gift we call a Yes Pack that will give you a Bible and a Bible study to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. We'd love to do that. But hey, guys, your pastor preached fast today. He actually beat our worship pastor back up here to close the service. And so that means we've got a few extra minutes on our hands on a day that we've been given the gift of a full hour. Please make sure you connect with somebody. And I think I'd just like to close one more time because that's, you know, we're Pentecostal, right? We can close multiple times. I'd like to close by just praying over our election, over our nation. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can you just extend your hand to those that make up the community and the nation that we live in? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we trust your sovereign hand to guide us. Lord, we thank you for the way that you provide in seasons of blessing and in seasons of suffering. Lord, the way that you are constant in calling people to yourself, using tragic circumstances and using circumstances that just show the blessing of your hand. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to be a people who posture ourselves before you daily, moment by moment, trusting in your hand to guide us in this season. Lord, we pray your peace through your people in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray your will be done, your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.